In other words,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I made, by boring a hole, I made a vessel out of a cypress knee, and it had not been, nobody had done anything with a cypress knee until I come along. Nobody. Oh, that is, there is no record of it, nowhere.
Okay.
And I forget about that.
That was in Savior, that's all.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Continue,
but I mean,
please,
what I meant was, I don't recall what all the. I don't know whether that was taken care of in the patent or not. The way to, you got to read the fine print of one of them things.
Yeah.
But that, this is great here.
The bottle opener.
Yeah, that is marvelous, but they don't use a cap anymore.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. Full caps.
This one. That one. Yeah, I think I showed you that.
Yeah.
So you could pull that thing full of
creosote and
whatever.
Just whatever, and
go on down or go on down the road.
All right. Well, what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to switch my lenses and take some close-ups here. This will allow me to take a close-up picture of well, anything.
Well, I didn't know Tom was in his house.
Okay. Just set it up over here. Maybe I can just go outside. Just turn this off too. Now, Mr. Tom, you were reading out the cover here. Now, what's happened with the cover is that it is in pencil, and it's long. I mean, this was 18. What did you say it was, sir?
I have to get this.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Just take your time.
I have to get the. Do I have to? You want have
as
to
best
get
as you can do it. We're looking at the scrapbook I've been taking some photographs of. I'm eating an orange that Tom peeled for me.
I've got to get. I can't even see that now. The light's got to be.
Yeah, just right on it. Well, this was your grandfather's scrapbook?
No, no. Now, see here.
Yes, sir.
There's a T-H-O-S, and there's a G-A-S-K-I-N-S there.
Yeah.
And there, let's see, I gotta get,
all right, it's quick.
I think it says, let me get my,
no problem, I can wait.
My glasses.
Yes, sir.
I can read there. There's a 1834. Right there. Wait just a minute. Let me get it.
On the side of it, on the binding, it says scrap book. Two words. Exactly, you know, spelled as they are today. In this scrap book, I'm going to read some of this stuff, though. I just took a picture, which is great in color. No one's going to look in black and white. That says, I think, G-O-D-E-Y-S. Ladies' book for 1850, and there's an inscription at the bottom which says, I think, somebody's book taken by Thomas Gaskins Crocker, looks like, Hill Pass, Pasquotank, County, North Carolina.
Pasquotank County.
Pasquotank County.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
You want me to read that?
Yeah, could you read that, sir?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. We were getting right into the book here. And he's reading the inscription.
Ladies' book, taken by Thomas Gaskins. I can't make that out.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Crocker
Hill?
Crocker Hill. Yeah, Crocker Hill, Pasquotank County, North Carolina.
Or Cracker Hill, yeah, either way.
Cracker or Crocker. I think it's Crocker.
Yeah, I do too.
Crocker Hill. What about that?
Yes, sir. And this scrapbook, again, it was not your grandfather's. It was your great-great-grandfather. How did it go?
I don't know how far back it goes.
Yes,
but you see, we see a date on the front that says yes. 1834.
Which is very clear, yes.
Right.
We got the glass out here.
We just need more light.
Yeah.
Than we got. I read it today. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's late in the afternoon. It's 4 or 5.
All right. There's a T H O S G A S K I N S. New begun. N-U, I can't make out what it is. N-U-E-B-E-G-O-N. New begun. County. New begun Creek. New begun Creek. Pasquotank County, North Carolina, I think is what it says. And the I don't know. Anyway, it says 1880. No, wait, 1834.
Yeah, even I can see that without the glasses.
Yeah,
it's definitely, without question, 1834.
1834, that's good enough. I don't know about
yeah.
the New Begun Creek.
That's right.
But I went there, and there is a New Begun Creek in the area there.
Let me just open up. And now, this has been handed down to your family, though, obviously.
The way that came to me was my grandfather died,
mm-hmm.
and his house sat there for 10 or 15 years with nobody, just the occupant, what was in it was just sitting there. And the son of my father's sister, Stonebreaker. George was the son. He came to me and said that he was going to move in my granddad's old house, that he had bought it from his mother, that he was going to throw out all the junk in the house.
Yeah.
And all everything upstairs. And this was in the junk that he was going to throw out.
Nice.
And I went up there on the hottest day that I have ever spent in July, and I gathered up this and some other things, and I carried them down to the barn where I live, and some of them I lost down there. And this, but these things I've got, and this remains.
Yeah.
Among some other things. The patents that I showed you were...
Yes, sir.
Were some of the things that were with that. And I've got some other stuff. But someday I plan to have this printed stuff put in either a plastic folder or two pieces of glass so people can read both sides, because there ain't no telling what's on the other side of these.
That's right. Now you're... Father's name was. What was your father's name, sir?
Same as mine.
Thomas.
Tom. It goes down the line.
Do you have a middle name?
No, just Tom.
I see.
And you can go now to to Elizabeth City Pesca Tank, North Carolina, and if you could look up this piece of land that that I had, you would see where this piece of land went from about 7 or 8 toms, one to the other.
I see.
Before that, during the either the Revolutionary War or the Civil War, I forget which, I think it was the Revolutionary War.
Yes, sir.
Elizabeth City was burned.
Uh-huh.
And when it was burned, why then a lot of records were lost. So,
yeah, this book is filled with pictures, it's filled with poems, it's filled with songs. It's filled with remedies for the whooping cough, to prevent iron from rusting, to make hens lay perpetually, artificial oysters. It's got pictures of P.T. Barnum, it's got pictures of Jenny Lind. It's got the ocean steamship Georgia. The magnificent ocean steamer was built in this city for the United States mail steamship line to ply between New York, Havana, New Orleans, and Chagres, C-H-A-R-G-C-H-A-G-R-E-S, carrying the Pacific mails. Her builders were Mr. Smith and Dimon, D-I-M-O-N. Her engines by Secor, S-E-C-O-R and Company. The Georgia is 155 feet in length, 49 feet breadth of beam, and 25 feet depth of hold. She has 2 90-inch cylinder and 8 feet stroke of piston. Her wheels are each 37 feet in diameter, 10 feet 6 inches on the face, and having double buckets, 30 inches wide, whatever the hell that is. She is finished in the most substantial and elegant manner, having stateroom berths for 350 passengers and can afford excellent accommodations to over 500. The Georgia is commanded by Captain Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, of the U.S. Navy, and left this port on her first trip on the 28th of January last. She is not only the largest, but she has proved herself one of the best ocean steamers afloat. So whoever looks at this in the future can know that this book can be dated by that fact. And I'm going to take a picture of that. And this steamer is pictured here with like a little kid on a sailboat, or three kids on a sailboat. And it's drawn by W.T. Norman, N-O-R-M-A-N, New York. That's this drawing of the steamship Georgia. I'm going to try to take a picture of it now. See, I'm trying to get this so we can date it sometime. Yes, sir.
You didn't read a date in there.
No, but what happens is we know the boat when the boat sailed from shore, sailed from port. Well, it just said so.
I didn't hear it.
What? Yes, sir. It said that, well, it didn't give the date. Well, here's what happens. There can only be one steamship Georgia.
Right.
And it sailed on 28th day of January last.
I see. Okay.
So whenever this thing sailed, that's before this scrapbook was put together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can't know the exact date, but we know that for that thing to be in this paper, excuse me, for that to be in this book,
best ocean steamers afloat.
Yeah, that was the newest one. Can you just pull that back a second?
Yeah.
Once you get to
your pardon, I didn't know.
No, sir, it won't do anything until I think of it.
I didn't know you were shooting.
No, go ahead and read. I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
You see, it also has things in here about the ideal wife, the ideal husband, hints to parents. That's a telephone. So it seems to be something like freedom of private judgment, nice girls by bachelor. Let's see what it says about nice girls, huh? Quote, to my mind, there is nothing in all the world half so beautiful, half so delightful, or half so lovable as a nice girl. I don't mean a pretty girl, but a nice girl, or an elegant girl, but a nice girl. What the fuck? One of these lively, good-natured, good-hearted, sweet-faced, amiable, neat, natty, domestic creatures whom we meet in the sphere of, quote-unquote, home, diffusing, D-I-F-F-U-S-I-N-G, around the domestic hearth, the influence of her goodness, like the essence of sweet flowers. I can't read anymore. This is all, it's columns long. So, cheap robes. It's got advice. It's glued in. Some of the glue has stained the paper. The lion and the... Shut up, dog. The lion and the John Ass, respectfully dedicated to the mechanical genius and his species. Get out of here and shut up. The great tobacco question is smoking injurious to health. Holy shit. Burlington Hawkeye, a Burlington rifle range. The Burlington Amateur Rifle Club will send a team to compete for the prizes at the international contest next year. The club is going into arduous practice and training at once, and has already constructed a rifle range on South Hill grounds. Well, something. David Porter. Portrait of Commander David Porter. Oh, here's David Porter. This is the guy who commanded the steamship, Georgia.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Porter. I don't see anything written on this page. Now there's a picture of him right in the middle there. He must have been following the story. This thing then, if you go through this book, then you can probably follow the... this is a nice picture of a girl. Holding flowers. It's in color. The landlord's chickens, little story here. Good advice, manhood, stick to business. A good Samaritan, a little poem. Nature is beautiful, how to judge a horse. I'm reading the captions, obviously. Oops, what does it say about Florida? Florida. It says, official census of 1870. The following table prepared by the Census Bureau is the authorized statement of government. Numerous tables, more or less complete, have been published, but this one only has official sanction. It should be preserved for reference. This is what they got in the scrapbook for then. Now we're seeing the losses by war and the discouragement of immigration. There have been an increase of population in the last decade of the years of 7.094.85 point, whatever the hell that means. The states of Maine, New Hampshire, and Virginia, and the territory of New Mexico have lost in population. The New England states have gained little, while the western show a large, and the southern states a moderate increase. The states in 1870, Florida has 187,756, while in 1860 it only had 140,424. And this was from... they only show North Carolina, and that was 1,069,614 in 1870, and then in 1860 it had 992,622. Total for the United States in 1870 was 38,538,180, looks like. And in 1860 was 31,183,744.
That's understanding.
Yeah. We got old music quotes here. They got poems called A Fidgety Wife. I Wish I Had Capital. How to Cook Old Fowls. Orange Pudding to Clean Paint. This little helpful thing. This thing has like poems and... The Difference in Girls, Parental Love, Home at Last. A lot of things focused on the home. A woman's answer to a man's question. Do you know you asked the costliest thing? Do you know you asked the costliest thing ever made by the hand above? A woman's heart and a woman's life and a woman's wonderful love? Do you know you have asked for this priceless thing as a child might ask for a toy? Demanding what others have died to win with the reckless dash of a boy? You have written my lesson of duty out. Man-like, have you questioned me? Now stand at the bar of my woman's soul until I shall question thee. You may require your mutton shall always be hot, your socks and your shirts be whole. I require your heart to be as true as God's stars and as pure as his heaven, your soul. You require a cook of your mutton and meat. I require a greater thing. A seamstress you are wanting for socks and for shirts. I look for a man and a king. A king for the beautiful realm called home, and a man that the Maker God shall look upon as he did on the first and say, it is very good. I am fair and young, but the rose will fade from my soft young cheek one day. Will you love me then, mid the falling leaves? as you did among the bloom of May? Is your heart an ocean so strong and deep? I may launch my all on its tide? A loving woman finds heaven or hell on the day she is made a bride. I require all things that are grand and true, all things that a man should be. If you give this all, I would stake my life to be all you demand of me. If you cannot be this, dash, a laundress and cook, you can hire and a little to pay, but a woman's heart and a woman's life are not one in that way. I had to read one of these poems. They're really pretty good. I sort of like them.
Well, you're coming
right to the end of it here. So.
Let's see. Wait just a minute. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I put this in there. From another. 5957.
Now there's a whole break in pages, and then in the back. Let me we're gonna put this right back here.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how that's explained. What that means.
Yeah. Culture of asparagus. Why do tooth decay? Now here's what I don't know. Chagres, Chagres. Chagres proper, and this is part of that other thing about the ship, the Saratoga there, the Savannah. Chagres proper is truly a wretched old town, and yet I think the American side, the most E-X-E-C-R-A-B-L-E, execrable of the two. But the native side has existed for years in its present filthy, dilapidated condition. It is the home, which is italicized, heaven forbid us for thus desecrating that holiest of words of its inhabitants. Here were they born and here they grew up. What the hell is this? Where is this? Life on the Isthmus. The sons of empire. Where the hell did these guys live? Chagres. Okay, lights out. We've lost our light for the day. Raspberries. How to prepare a cheap paint. Poultry and eggs. Cultivation and the preservation of fruit trees. Preserving butter. So they wouldn't put these things in unless they were valuable to them.
Pelargonium or geranium leaves, a cure for wounds. The leaves of the pelargonium are, as everybody knows, strongly scented, some smell of rose, others of lemons, apples, etc. There are also other sorts which, being bruised, have a disagreeable odor. All the varieties of this genus contain a large quantity of essential oil, which is usually fatty. There are several sorts which are cultivated in the open air in the south of France, and particular at Nice, for the purpose of extracting the oil which is sold to the perfumers. The leaves of all pelargoniums have also the property of quickly healing cuts, places where the skin has been rubbed off, and other sores of that kind. You take one leaf or more of the pelargonium, which you bruise upon a piece of linen. You then apply it to the sore place. It often happens that one is sufficient to heal the wound. It sticks closely to the surrounding skin and helps to close the flesh and heals the wound in a short time. I never heard of that.
No.
Pelargonium. You ever?
No, but I know the geranium plants, they have like geranium plants that they grow. My aunt's got one. And you rub them and they smell like mint.
Hmm.
So I understand that. Well, we're going to call it a day here.
You ever hear it?
No, I want to hear it.
Wait a minute, I'll show you something. If I can lay this down somewhere.
You sit right down here.
What are you from? Newspaper? Press?
No, I'm from the Bureau of Florida Football.
Oh.
Well, this is like a violin.
Mm-hmm. This is the chalk. You just touch it like that. Put it back in there so you don't lose it.
take this and you hit it like, whoop.
That's the right putt.
Oh, you know about the putt, do you?
I don't know whether I can do it the first time or not.
It wouldn't take you long to be making that thing talk.
I haven't squeezed that kind, but many other ones.
Yeah.
You know what I find is about as good as anything? A bar straw.
A what?
A bar straw.
Bar straw?
You take a bar straw, put it in your mouth, you suck in on it. Make,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I know, probably gets it out every year in a bar straw.
Yeah, that's all. Well, that's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want it no better than that.
No, that's right.
You don't want it no better. That's perfection. I've seen this yard here just covered all over, everywhere here.
I want to ask you something. When a turkey answers you, what do you do? In return for him?
I put back.
Yeah.
Maybe, or
I tell you,
it depends on. Or I may not say anything and let him see what he'll do or she.
Well, I don't know. I've called quite a few in, but when he answers me, I count the number of times he yaps, and that's what I give him back. And by golly, I'll tell you, it works about as good as anything I ever did. The amount of times he chirps, I give him. I don't know what the hell he's saying. But at least I'm trying to give him what he's saying, so I don't know.
Circumstances alter cases.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do a thing. I don't. I just let him. He's looking.
Well, he's hunting you. When he just gives you one.
And,
yeah.
I just let him go. And if he starts wandering, I mentioned in a. In a book there, I wanted to see one time. I called. I wanted to see what would happen, and I did a test. I called a turkey, and he flew across the creek and stopped and didn't say a word, and I didn't say a word. I was looking at him just broad as daylight, and I didn't say do a thing, and he stood there, and he looked, and he looked. He'd answered my call, see, and come and flown in.
Yeah.
And then I just sat there. I didn't do a thing. And pretty soon he turned and he started off. And then when he did, I give him that. He turned around and come back and I killed him.
you can call a turkey too much. I think.
It's hard to say. I have talked. I remember one time. I'll tell one story along. I called for a solid damn hour. Nothing happened. And for a long time, I had heard people. I've heard people do like.
Yeah.
Like that. So, I don't do like that. But I just, generally, I'm like that or. But I'd been wanting to do that, but I had called for a solid hour and nothing happened. And I says, I'm going to do that. And I just did like this. Boy, here she comes. But the problem there is, I don't know to this day.
But the writer hoped.
Whether or not she was waiting on me all that hour, or whether she just drove up. You'll never know. Never know. I have had this whole yard here just covered with them. In fact, I got photographs of them. Many, 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 many.
You have a good many turkey here in this area then?
This is where the state of Florida captured turkeys to send them all over the United States.
Uh-huh.
Right here, this creek swamp. 7 miles out of way, 10 miles this way, north of the Canada line. This is where they did all their all their traffic. Well, I won't say all, but I don't know of other. I can't name other places, but they did. Yeah. They trapped here for years, yeah. For years, and they sent them to.
When's your
turn? Them off in airplanes.
When's your turkey season end?
I don't know. I don't pay no attention to it. I haven't killed a turkey. I don't know how many years, 8 or 9, something like that.
And changing the subject, these boar, are they Russian wild boar here, or are they, what kind of, just plain wild?
They're just old fracker pigs that they used to have cropped ears, and now they're called wild boar.
I wonder, see, I've seen them along the highway, not this year, other times. Well, but a Russian wild boar, you know, he's got, the end of his hair is split. Each hair has got a split in it. Got a Y in it.
I never killed a hog in my life. I could have killed a million or something like that.
Well,
anyway, I don't know. It's just, these are just old Florida cracker hogs.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call them.
Yes, sir.
Then later after we had, I'd carried Oscar clear up to St. Louis, and I'd had him in stores in Knoxville and Nashville and Chattanooga and Memphis and all those places. And finally when we got through and came on back and, anyway, Oscar is supposed to have wound up in the zoo in Memphis. It's I don't remember exactly now all the details, but it seemed like I don't know whether I shipped him to the place there, or I gave him to one of the fellows that left us there, and he was going back to Memphis, and that's the way I think it was. And I think he put the gator in the zoo there. I forget the name of the zoo, but anyway,
that's right.
As far as I know, Oscar is still there. Something didn't happen to him. Well, he ought to be a big, fine alligator by
now,
because that's been 50 years, around 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago, because I've been married 52 years. It's been.
When did you go up to Tennessee?
It's been 54 years ago when that happened, 54, 55.
And what gave you the idea to ask for an alligator? I mean, I know you were talking earlier about the advertising.
The name of the roach killer is Gator Roach Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And and the alligator is the brand.
I see.
And anyway, that's...
The logo. Did you, when they were, when you sold the boxes of it and stuff, did it have a picture of an alligator on the box?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any of those around anymore?
Oh, yeah. Lord, yeah, they're... Let's see here. Where are they? There's one here. See, that thing works while you sleep. You can put that among your papers, your clothes, or...
Mm-hmm.
There's been many millions of dollars worth of that stuff sold.
Can I take a picture of this?
Sure.
I have to get my tripod. Can I just take this with me? We'll
sure.
Go together. You know, I mean, I'll do it back
to you. You can have that. You can have... I don't have... I own a fourth... I own 25.5% of the company, and it's not doing very well. It's my brother was not like me. He's not a salesman. I'm a salesman. I went to Tennessee to sell, and I've sold Cypress Knees, and I've sold everything, turkey calls, etc.
Yeah. Staying again with the alligators, you once, according to the book here, page 42-43, you once had a... whole, you skinned an entire alligator to put in the Cypress Knee Museum, and let me just get right to that section here. With some help, I once skinned a 12.5-foot alligator complete.
Yes.
By complete, I don't just mean the belly skin, which comes off easy. I mean the whole hide,
right.
Head and body. Okay.
Right.
Do you, and as I understand it, someone took the skin, but did you keep the skeleton?
No. We just didn't pay no attention to the skeleton.
Yeah, and the only reason I even asked that is because, you know, and the photographs I've taken will show this, is that around the work sheds, you know, and around the shop, There are various, like, I can't name the animals, I don't know, but, you know, there are skulls and of different parts of animals,
oh,
and there's a turtle.
You see out here?
Yes, sir, so which, that's why I asked that question, you know,
see.
It's not
well,
totally...
Well, no, that's just stuff I pick up as I jog.
Mm-hmm.
See, I go up the creek or down the creek running, and the game is always getting killed
mm-hmm.
by some other game or somebody, see.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see a skull of anything that's... nicely weathered, white, and I don't have to get no trouble to me. I just pick it up and bring it back in. I'll sell it
mm-hmm.
or give it to somebody. I've sold lots of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, which is the only reason I even asked that.
Yeah, but I didn't pay any attention to the skeleton of that gator, but I ought to have done it because it was a 12 and a half footer. It was a big alligator that we skinned, and somebody stole the hide. I gave it to my friend Russ Smiley to I forget what he was going to do with it, but anyway, somebody stole the damn thing, and I was going to take it to a taxidermist down there to handle, and the taxidermist said somebody stole it, so, and I lost God Almighty. See, this has been over 50 years ago.
Huh.
Or something like that. Around 50 years. And I forget what I paid for that. I think I gave Joe Hogan $25 or $50 or something. I don't know what I gave. I don't know. I just don't know. But that was a good one. See, I was going to put that alligator in the museum. Anyway, it was stolen.
Yeah.
Okay, far
yes,
away.
I have a number of pages of notes since I read Tom's stuff last night, so I'm just referring to it for those of you who are wondering why I'm not saying anything.
I'd better say things when it comes to my mind.
Yes, sir, go right ahead.
If you want to phone me, you know, at night, it don't cost much money.
Okay.
You phone. We are always here
mm-hmm.
at night, and you can phone station to station and anytime. And
all right, we have a Watts line up in White Springs.
Oh yeah. Well, you phone me at night anytime.
Okay. What's your telephone number? Just so I have it on tape.
675-2951.
675.
675.
675.
2951.
2951.
Yes.
Okay, it's on tape form. All right. Okay, because I'm sure there will be things, but I want to ask you, you know, as much as I can, then we'll go... one of the things I did want to ask you now, another book that Tom let me have, Masterpieces of Nature.
That's a very old one, long before the museum. There wasn't no museum built when that was done.
Uh-huh.
I don't think.
And on the, I guess it's, if you count the covers, 1, 2, 3, 4, on the fifth page, or actually when you open up the center where the middle of the booklet falls, he has on the right side a photograph of a wood ball carved inside four posts, which are carved inside diagonal pieces. In other words, a whittled or wood-carved chain out of a single piece of wood. Now, this is something that you've made. Is that...
Yes, sir. It's in the museum.
It's in the museum.
It. And it's the most... it is the best, most intricate kind of a thing. Now, see, I'm not good. I'm worthless at carving art. Like
mm-hmm.
some people can carve people, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
I can't do that. But this is, I can handle a tool. And this is the most intricate thing that I know of, that I've seen anywhere. And anyway, it's in the museum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go over to the museum, and if I have enough light,
it's on this side of the building,
right.
Up about eye level.
Okay.
About midway.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier, when we were outside, I'd asked you if the saw handle with the chain in your store was something that you had done, because what I was trying to find out, which it was not, that's fine, but I was asking about in the sense that do you have any other pieces of whittled wood or carved wood that you have along those lines, either at the museum or here?
I cut that man's head up there.
Huh.
Which is, well, it ain't bad, but still it's crude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no good there. I just haven't got it.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things like that have you carved in the past? I mean, you couldn't have just done that out of nowhere. I mean, you
no,
looked
no,
at it over time.
No, I've done that a long time ago. Long time ago. But mm-hmm. I don't have time to do anything like that. And I don't have the ability.
Mm-hmm.
If it's intricate, yes, I can carve it.
I know what you're saying. I understand the distinction.
If somebody can design something and tell me where to put the tool, I can put the tool at. Mm-hmm. But to take, to have the artistic touch, I've got it.
Well, that's debatable, sir. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, art comes in different ways. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. But still, you see, some people can take, I've got magazines out there that show various well-known people.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see wood carvings that people made of them.
Yeah, it looks just like
mine. Just exactly like they, as if you were looking at the flesh. And mm-hmm. I got it, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Now again, staying with this idea about woodworking and stuff like that. Again, you say in your book that you once made or I guess in this pamphlet here, you made a baby bed and some chairs from cypress knees?
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have those?
It's all tore up, but I can show you some parts of it.
All right, or something like that, okay. And you made a canoe once, two out of a cypress?
It's in the museum. That's the third attempt that to make a canoe. I've read Robinson Crusoe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Robinson Crusoe, he made a canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always wanted to make one, and the one that I have is my third attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something interesting about one of them, I cut a knee down, I cut a tree down, and it was a big tree, and I tried stupid. See, I was a child. I didn't know nothing, and I tried to split that log. I thought then that way you could make two canoes. See, and I begged, borrowed, bought, and stole every loose axe in this Arcadia, Florida, and I drove them axes in that log trying to split that thing, and long come high water and floated that thing away, and I don't know how many hundred axes were floated away with that log. So someday, I don't know whether it ever happened, but somebody someday could have, where that log had rotted, he could have found a row of axe heads there, and I bet he would have wondered what in the world happened. But that was my second attempt. And this one out here is my third attempt. And it's a marvelous canoe. It works all right. The only thing against it is it ought to be about an inch deeper and an inch wider. But another fella about your size and myself, one cold winter, got in that thing and paddled across Fishing Creek with it.
Hmm. Well, now, did you, again, you're a very capable, very skilled man, but did anyone show you how to do it? In some ways. Okay, fine, but I mean...
Just Robinson Crusoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I learned early. I'll show you the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me.
Yes, sir.
You see that? Can you see a scar there?
Yeah, it looks like a circle or something. Yeah,
see it cut from clear from here.
Right around.
I nearly cut the end of my finger off.
Yeah, left hand.
My knife slipped. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Why?
Like to cut my finger off, it scared me to death. It hurt me bad, so it made me be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from that.
Yeah.
That taught me.
When did you do that?
I was about 6 years old.
What were you doing with the knife? Were you just playing with it?
Whittling.
Where was your father's feed store in Arcadia? Do you remember the address? I mean, the street it was on? Or?
Oh, yeah. On the old Main Street.
Old Main Street, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know where Dozier's store was? You know where Oak, let's see, Oak and... Hickory, I believe it is.
Uh-huh.
All right, on the main street,
mm-hmm.
there's what was Dozier's store in a gray building. Well, back of that was my father's seed store, or my grandfather and my father's seed store. But that was very early. Then they crossed. That was on the west side. Then. They crossed the street and went
100 feet north, and now they and there's a brick building, two stores together, two door brick building,
uh-huh.
And that was my father's seed store until he got out of the seed business.
Now this brick building, this again was on Main Street?
No.
Where?
No, it's on. Now let's see, Main Street is Oak Street, and it runs east and west.
Okay.
Now in the middle of town, there's I think it's Hickory, that runs north and south.
Okay.
All right, so it would be north on the east side. It's where this red brick building is, and if you look at the northernmost door of this building, about this high from the sidewalk, you'll see where I scratched my name in the brick there, and you can see it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 70 years ago.
On Hickory Street.
I think it's Hickory. I think it's Hickory.
What other stores were on that street near around your father's?
Well, there was a bakery south of us, and next door to us.
A bakery? What was the name of the bakery? Do you remember at all?
No, I don't.
It's okay.
I think, I just don't know.
It's all right, it's okay. What else was on that street? And then I'll tell you why I'm asking exactly.
Not much. It was there was a back alley that was south of us, and beyond the back alley was some line of buildings, and then there was the main street, Oak Street, and then north of us. For years, Jimmy Jones had a filling station there on the north side, and then then north of us, across the street from us, that is west, was the Baptist Church.
Ah, the Baptist Church, excellent. What was the name of the Baptist Church? There was just one in town at that time?
Just Baptist Church is all I know.
Mm-hmm. And that was across the street from you, basically, north?
Across the street from
the red brick building. I mean
the feed seed store across the street and north to the corner.
Huh. Mm-hmm. What year was the first store that your grandfather and your father had together? What year about was that, by Dozers or behind Dozers?
Well, I was a very young child then. I must have been around 5 years of age, something like that.
1913.
I think so.
And when did your dad go into the second store there on Hickory?
I don't know, 7 or 8, something like that.
All right, a year or two later. Was it around the time of the First World War?
Well, the First World War wasn't very far away.
Yeah.
It wasn't very far away. I remember it very well. I remember when Kostrom and Dorfield were built. And anyway, remember very well. Remember a lot of things belonging there.
Yeah, because they—that's when they trained the First World War aviators down there,
right,
in Arcadia.
Right.
That was very famous.
Right. You'd like to hear an interesting story?
Sure.
When the commanders of the fields would be promoted or demoted or transferred, they would always give them a big send-off. They'd just give them an excuse. This is when the First World War was going on.
So. Mm-hmm.
And they just needed the slightest excuse to kick the gong around, you might say.
Uh-huh.
Well, one time a Colonel Fache, I remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
Colonel Fache was head of both fields, and he was being transferred somewhere, and the trains were leaving, And so the air boys, they came to, flew into town to give him a big send-off, and they would swoop down and spin their wheels of the airplane on the train cars.
Wow.
And then there was one of them came over the schoolhouse and would swoop down at us kids out there playing. They had turned us out so we could see the big air show. There were airplanes all over the Arcadia. And they would come down as close as this ceiling to us kids. I could almost reach up and touch the wheels of the plane. And one time, they, and it just, we just thrilled. What if he'd have just slipped a little bit? Yeah. Boy, he'd have mowed more kids down than John saw. But anyway, he came down and he dove down on us, about like the ceiling, maybe 2 or 3 feet higher. I don't know. I couldn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then he turned east and started to rise. And my God, there was a flagpole staring him square in the face. And he, but it was a wood flagpole, and he was going up. So the wing of that airplane hit that flagpole and just cut it off, cut off about 8 or 10 feet of it. It fell on the ground, and he just kept right on going. That was the darndest thing I've saw in my life. And anyway, that's that. I'll never forget that, and that's the only thing I can tell you about. All I remember of the whole thing, you might say.
Well, excellent. Well, maybe we better get back to your store. I don't want to take you away.
Well,
too much
that's all right. That's all right. I want to be. You see, I'm working.
Yes,
all
sir.
The time. I guess I'm going to get some publicity out of this. I don't know.
Well, sure.
I imagine.
Listen, Tom, why don't I go get my tripod? I'll just shoot it right inside this room. There's plenty of light in here. I just have to get my tripod so it'll be steady, okay? I'll come right back.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Father named Tom as well?
Yes. Anyway, this is the pet. This no big deal here. But here's one that's big deal.
Yes, sir.
Called window shutters.
Window shutters, yes, sir.
That's the jealousy window.
Hmm. What do you call it, jealousy? I mean, just a cushy
closet? See, where these things lift.
Yeah, the flaps.
The windows. That's, like
that those glass ones there, yeah.
See there?
Yes,
that's
sir.
The jealousy window. 1893. And here is the rotary mixer.
Rotary mixer, uh-huh.
You know what rotary is?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Dough mixer, yeah.
Round and round. That's mm-hmm. the patent.
Yeah, you're still in Arcadia by that time.
That's...
Huh? It's still in Arcadia at that time. It's 1893 again.
Right.
Well, this has to. These are your dad's patents?
No, no.
No, these are yours in 1893?
No. My granddad, man.
Your grandfather's. Oh, I see. I got confused. Well, everybody's named Tom in your family. You guys say you couldn't share a name.
Right,
you know,
right. It's that way from way back. There's a car coupler on the railroad.
Gee whiz. Yeah, patent March 19th, 1895.
Anyway, I just thought that'd be entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
This is aren't what the others are.
Sprinkling apparatus, yeah. Cooking stoves or ranges.
All right.
Yeah.
But not these are
the main ones. How many patents did your grandfather have?
I gather that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8 patents.
Was about. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought you'd like to see that.
Yes, sir. No, I would. That's interesting.
Well, that's. There ain't no more nowhere.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yes, sir. Now, we were talking earlier, and you were saying there's historical societies here and around. Do they know that you have this kind of stuff?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And they don't know about
that scrapbook, yeah.
I showed you
mine, didn't I?
Your patents, yes, sir. Could I see the one, sir, that shows about the, you know, the boring part? And that the boring is, you know what I'm trying to say?
I'll show you one. The other day, I went to LaBelle,
mm-hmm.
and I saw where I saw an infringement on it in a hardware store,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it to my lawyer in Washington, and over a week ago, and I haven't heard nothing from him. But this is it.
Mm-hmm.
That on the end
mm-hmm.
of a drill.
Drill bit, yeah.
Yes, and I use it on making my turkey calls. Mm-hmm. We used to use in the common ordinary auger or twist drill. We lost from 7 to 10 turkey calls out of every 100
mm-hmm.
splitting on us. Since we did that, sometimes there would be the whole 100 and there would be no splits. Anyway, that's first class, and it's being infringed. Now here is a...
liquid applying.
This is no. All right. But you can put this on a post and put like creosote or something in there.
To coat down the log.
Instead of standing there and working and spraying for 5 minutes or something like that, you can just go and pour this thing full or that thing or this other thing
mm-hmm.
and go on to the next post. See,
yeah. You can just set them right up.
Right, faster. Anyway, that, no big deal. Now here's one that I do not know. That's a submarine, say.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ball and socket. You know how a ball and socket is?
Yes, sir.
And there's a ball and socket. Well, don't you know that a submarine, that had one of them things in there, and it big around as a house, the motor, you could turn this one that way and the other way, and boy, you go around and spin like a top.
Yeah.
Anyway, and this could be on the outboard motor that we use on little boats right there. Just you got that thing in there, you just turn it whichever damn way you want to go.
Yeah.
Nothing to it. Anyway, signed, sealed, and delivered. I never made a nickel out of one of these things.
This is a
see, that would be like that. Anyway. I get these things for the fun of it, you know. And,
knife and saw. Yeah, you're talking about the other.
Now here's one here. Actually. A fella with a 6-inch blade here could cut out a 12-inch tree.
Hmm.
Because 6 inches in, see, and go all the way around. Go all the way around. Anyway, I may do something with it or not. I don't know. This one is all right. I have it like this. I made me one, and I use it. It's
sulfur palm wood,
yeah? Okay, but no big deal. You never know.
Yeah.
But no big deal. But I use it. It works. Now there, though, is one of the most marvelous things. I use that to hold my meat, to hold my these two things together.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is great. That ought to pay me $100 million.
One of these days. Yeah, I know.
I know, it probably won't, but it should. It's great. And here's this...
outdoor cooking grill?
Outdoor cooking grill, like...
Yeah, this is like this, the one you have outside. This is the one
right,
you have outside, yeah.
Right, and I've been using that, see, for about 20 years or something like that. But anyway, this that clamp thing there I use to hold these together. Anyway, I'll show you in a few minutes when we get out there.
Yeah, that's number 4338912. That's the patent number.
Now here's
on the grill.
Now here is I'm not able to sell any of these. I've not done anything with them. The only one I ever done anything with is my knee patent. And my, let's see, which one shows it better? This blade goes down like that. If you can hit, something loose, it's sticking up in the air like that, and it'll bend away from you. Mm-hmm. But if you got it laying against something, like laying against the ground, why, you can cut it real easy. But anyway, no deal. I don't make no money off of it, and probably won't. And here is a vehicle. This, you could run along low to the ground. This shows it better, more easy to explain. And you can turn this around to where this is up in the air here.
Yeah.
And you're this high from there to there off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Or you turn it like this.
Anyway, how much does it cost to do one of these patents, beginning to end?
Thousands, some of them.
Hmm.
I've spent a lot of money on these. This stands for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hell of a lot of money. Now, tire pressure gauge. Now, here's something here. Now, you know how you look at a tire, and you don't know whether in the hell you need air in that tire or not.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you know that if you got pressure in something, it ain't going to curl up like that. It's going to be straight up.
Yeah.
So, there ain't nothing the matter with this, but I'm not able to sell it. Anyway, that's the way it is when the tire is full.
Hmm.
Then if you lose some
it'll curl accordingly. It,
so you'll be able to gauge how much air is.
Yeah, drip down. So you're 20 feet away, you can tell you need air in your tire.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing the matter with that. And this is my Cypress knee thing. Like those birdhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
But the carved hole is where they
could I take a